Chapter 59. Vic had to admit that Lorraine had been great. After reassuring him that visiting her aunt was a regular occurrence, and that Mike never got suspicious of her, "I've never given him a reason to be suspicious until now," Vic relaxed. Although she came to Paradise with only one thing on her mind, a repeat performance of their tryst at the motel, she'd put her desires on hold and took good care of him. She'd cradled his head in her lap as he slept. She'd gone to the Chinese takeout place on Schooner Avenue and got him 2 quarts of hot chicken broth. She'd forced him to drink a liter bottle of water. She'd given him something for his headache that didn't do any further damage to his stomach. Her patience ran out at about 1 in the morning, and, feeling human again, Vic didn't see how he could say no. When they woke at 7 the next morning, Vic was feeling almost himself again, and he'd figured out how to use Lorraine to help him get away. But he knew he had to be circumspect about how he broached the subject to her. He had no thought of actually telling her the truth, only enough of it so that what she told Mike would give him cover. First, though, he had to get her in a cooperative spirit. He kissed her on the neck, and she shuddered from the chills.
"How do you do that to me?" she said. "Even in school you could do that to me. I think you're still the only man who could do that to me."
He pulled her by the hair. "Get into the shower, now." This time her shudder was more pronounced, and it came with a not-so-soft sigh.
"Come in with me, please," she said, her voice a little breathless.
"You first. I'll be right in." Lorraine got out of bed and walked unsteadily into the bathroom. Perfect. She would do exactly what he wanted and would provide the misinformation to Mike. When he heard the spray of the shower, Vic texted a coded message to his lawyer. His lawyer would set it all in motion: the crossing into Canada, the cruise down to the Caymans, the new identity, and everything else he had so meticulously planned. Vic knew that only idiots went through life without a plan B, and he was no idiot. Anticipation and adaptation was a big part of being a good ball player. Knowing what might go wrong and what to do if it did was more important in life than on the field. So Vic understood from the outset that even if everything had gone according to spec, he might have to run. Good thing. The reunion had gone terribly in terms of Jesse Stone, and that damn Joe Breen had to go and kill the girl. Every time he thought about that aspect of it, he shook his head. He turned for the bathroom and put the phone down on the nightstand. As soon as he did, "Take Me Out to the Ball Game" began playing. He recognized Dee's number. He wanted to let it go to voicemail, but figured he should pick it up. He couldn't afford Dee showing up at his hotel door with Lorraine Frazetta there. Whether he wound up boinking Dee or not wasn't the point. It was that he couldn't afford a scene, and he couldn't risk Lorraine's ill will. "Yeah, Dee, what's up?"
"Can I come over now?"
"Not now," he said a little too loudly. "I need to wake up and shower and all. Then I want to get some breakfast in me."
"I can come over to see you afterwards?"
"Why don't I come over to your room?" he said. "It's just easier, okay?"
"I need to see you, Vic, please."
"Okay, by noon, I promise."
"Have you heard from Kayla?"
"I'm the last person she'd call. I've got to go." He hung up, put the phone down, and went into the bathroom. Lorraine was in the shower, waiting for him.